Okay. Thank you very much. It's really a special pleasure to be here in Avnei Shamir. And I'd like to try to share a few words of chizuk. This week's parsha, Avram Avinu asked Hashem, "Bama idaki iroshena?" In the Brisbane Habasarim, and Hashem answers, "Kicholi aglam mishuleshet ve'ez mishuleshet ve'ayel mishulash v'tor v'gozal," etc. And Rashi says in his second shot, what was Avram's question? It wasn't that he doubted Hashem. It's a little peculiar. The previous pasuk was, v'hemin ba'Hashem v'yachshav elo tzedakah. If Avram believed in Hashem, why is he asking b'ma'ida? And Rashi says, lo sha'alo ote, lo amr l'fanav hodienu be'ezah z'chut yitkaimu ba banai. Like, with what z'chut? How will it work? I believe you, Hashem, but what do we have to do to get Eretz Yisrael ki irashena? Amr l'kodesh baruch hu b'z'chut ha-karbonot. With karbonot, with sacrifice. You know, the Eretz Yisrael is nikna. We acquire it. You know, through sacrifice. Likewise, the Medrash says in Bereishis Rab, there are three things, Matanot Tovot, that Hashem gave to Am Yisrael, which are only nikna through Yisurin, through suffering. And one of those is Eretz Yisrael. Okay, sometimes we don't necessarily see that quite as much. You know, the sacrifice is we make Aliyah, we're far away from our families, this is a little hard and that's a little hard, and we're not used to the way they do things here. And sometimes we see the real meaning of hakrava, of the sacrifice, and the real Yisurin. You know, it's a tremendous zechut. We wish that we could only be here in great, happy times with no challenges, with no tsaros, with no suffering. But it's a zechus to be here. This is the only place we want to be at times like this, when we, Am Yisrael, is acquiring Eretz Yisrael, is strengthening our kinyan in Eretz Yisrael with our karbonot and with our yisurin. To be part of that is really a tremendous zechut, and we wish there was no such situation as we've been in for the last almost 3 weeks. But if there is such a situation, Baruch Hashem that we're here and not 6,000 miles away. I think it's the Rav talks in Ala Tshuva. The Rav talks about Yisurin. He quotes the Gemara that says, what is Yisurin? We think of Yisurin as terrible sufferings, etc. Yisurin can also be small things. I think that, you know, everyone has their hakrava. Everyone has their Yisurin. Some people are Kona Eretz Yisrael literally by giving up their lives for the past 75 years. And before Melchamed Atzmaut, so many have given up their lives. Unfortunately, in the last 3 weeks, you know, so many have been makriv their lives, and much other suffering, yisurin. But it's not only the big hakravah, it's not only the big yisurin. I think any of us who are suffering, any of us who made the decision to come here, and when we're here, it's scary. And it's hard, and we worry, and everyone on their own, you know, maybe we have kids in the army, maybe we don't, maybe those kids are, you know, Dalet Amot from Lebanon, maybe they're Dalet Amot from Gaza, maybe they're someplace else, but still fighting in the army, maybe our other relatives are in the army, maybe we're worried, maybe we're scared, but if we come here, and we have a tough time, and we undergo those Yisurin, and we made the sacrifice of coming here knowing that we're taking a chance on rockets being fired at us, that we're taking a chance on not everything going the way we want it to. And that's our hakrava. That's our karban. And with that, we are fulfilling the destiny of Avram Avinu and really being Kone. Everyone in this room is being Kone Eretz Yisrael. It's an interesting phrase they use in English. You know, in Hebrew, the people who come and just, you know, do what our enemies did almost 3 weeks ago are called mechablim. Lashon chavalav, destruction. But in English, they're called terrorists. Why are they called terrorists? Because what they're trying to do is not just kill people. They know they can't kill all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, as unrealistic as they are. They know that they can't kill everyone in the state of Israel, but they think they can scare them off. They think they can terrorize them. They think they can scare them off and drive us all out of Eretz Yisrael because we'll be too scared to remain. And they're right that it's sometimes scary being in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Beit Shemesh is not the scariest place, but it's still scary to be anywhere in Eretz Yisrael at times like this. But you know, we're still here. We're not going anywhere. You know, not giving in to the terror in the literal sense of the word, knowing that it's scary, but not giving in to that fear is how we win this battle. But I want to talk for a few minutes about how we grapple with that fear, how we grapple with whatever personal fear we have, with our fear for the klal. You know, it's a very scary time we're living in. And what do we do? What does the Torah have to tell us about standing up to fear? So there's a story, the Rav, he said it a number of occasions. It's written up in a few, in more than one of his books, including most famously in Ala Tshuva, that the Rav once had a conversation with an eminent psychiatrist, didn't say his name. And the psychiatrist told the Rav, if it was up to me, I would erase one paragraph from the Machzor. Which paragraph? Says, just on Yom Noraim, 3 days a year in the Amidah, we say, V'tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu. We daven that Hashem should give us pachad. Hashem should make us afraid. He said, you know what? I'm a psychiatrist. I know a lot about these things. Almost all mental illnesses come from pachad, come from fear, from rational fear, from irrational fear, from what people do with it, where they go from there. And he says it's very psychologically unhealthy. If it was up to me, I would erase that from the paragraph. We don't want Hashem to give us pachad. Not mentally healthy. The Rav said back to that eminent doctor, the Rav said, I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm just a balavas. But I walk around the world, I look at people, everyone's afraid of something. People walk around in fear of their shadows, right? This guy's afraid for his health. And lots of people have great reasons to be afraid. And this guy's afraid for his job. And lots of people have great reasons to be afraid. And this guy's afraid for his social standing. Everyone's afraid of something. Says, but you know, there's one pachad which takes away, which frees you from every other pachad in the world. And that is, v'tein pachtecha Hashem Elokeinu, Yiras Hashem. Says Yiras Hashem is not an unhealthy fear. Yiras Hashem is the one thing that if you're afraid of Hashem, if you recognize the role of Hashem in your life, then you don't have to be afraid of anything else. And Adaraba, we need more than ever, v'tein pachtecha, we need more and more Yiras Hashem. We need to be overpowered by our feeling of awe of Hashem in order to free us from being afraid of what everyone else in the world is afraid of. Of course, the Rav is talking about, you know, both serious and less serious fears. We're living in a time where, you know, there are scary things going on. Again, I'm not here to scare anyone. This is Beit Shemesh. It's not, it's not Metula or Kiryat Shmona or et cetera. But scary times. And what the Rav tells us is that the way to conquer our fear is with Yiras Hashem, is to strengthen our Yirat Hashem. And how does that work? That's all the Rav said in that story. That was a brief conversation. How does our Yirat Hashem help us conquer all the other fears? So I think this is the concept which, the Mafarshim and Baalei Machshava throughout the centuries have referred to as bitachon, right? A baal bitachon, someone who trusts in Hashem, does not have to be afraid, right? If we focus on our bitachon, that's a way to free us from everything that, you know, we read too much news, we sit and think too much about, you know, even if we don't fall into the trap of playing Ramatkal and Rosh Hashanah, you know, the more we think about things, the scarier they get. The solution to that is bitachon. And I want to talk for a few minutes about what bitachon means and how that's relevant for our lives. Bitachon, lichora, means batuach. Batuach means, not in the Hebrew, I'm sure of something, right? Batuach, I'm sure. I have no doubts about it. What are we sure of when we talk about bitachon? Like, what are we certain will occur when we talk about bitachon? Lichora, we do not mean we're certain that there's a God out there. That's what we usually call emuna. We believe in God. That's, you know, already metaphysics, philosophy. That's his business in the heavenly realms. Bitachon is about what happens to us. So what are we sure about? What is this bitachon? So this is a famous machlokas between the 20th century Bali Musar. There was a great 20th century Jewish leader called the Altar of Nevardik. Rav Yosef Yozel Horowitz, he founded the Nevardik Musar Yeshiva and really became a chain of yeshivas that did a lot to to save Judaism from the winds of assimilation between the two world wars in the 20th century. And he wrote a Sefer Madrigas HaAdam, and in that he has a long section about bitachon, and he says, what does bitachon mean? Bitachon means, says, a baal bitachon is absolutely certain that he will get what he needs in any time and any place. Regular people play the odds. They say, well, in this situation, maybe it'll work out for me. In this situation, it will not work out for me. Regular people say, well, if I'm in a very safe place, I can feel confident. If I am, you know, thrown into a lion's den, then I feel very nervous. If I have a good job and a good degree, etc., then I feel confident in my parnasa. If I have no job prospects whatsoever, then I feel nervous. And a baal bitachon is not nervous because the baal bitachon knows that whatever he thinks he needs, whatever he's used to, Hashem will provide for him if he just has bitachon, whether through natural means or through supernatural means. If it works out naturally, fine. If not, then something completely unexpected will happen and you will get exactly what you need. And he said, not you will get like something and we'll call that what you need. That's cheap. You know, oh, whatever you get, that's what you'll need. No, no, you will get exactly what you think you need. What you reasonably, normally, using your common sense, think you need in this situation. Someone needs good health. Someone needs parnasa. Someone needs nachas from their kids, etc. If you just have bitachon, you will automatically get that. That was the message of the Nevardik Musar Yeshiva. And that's really a great way to overcome our fears and find calmness in any situation. We just believe that we have bitachon in Hashem, and He will automatically, without any question, without any doubt, give us exactly what we think we need. Exactly what we want, you know, reasonable wants, you know, what we want, what we think is really necessary for us, not if we want silly things, not if we want, Disney World, but all the regular things we want in life, Hashem will provide for us if we just have bitachon. That is a very comforting claim. The problem is that it might not be true. The Chazon Ish in his... There's a slender volume from the Chazon Ish called Emuna U'Bitachon, which is writings on philosophy by the Chazon Ish. It is a very slender volume because the Chazon Ish was so sharp that he didn't have to say everything in a very long-winded fashion and beat around the bush, and he just made his points very sharply and concisely. So, you know, he could do in 60 pages what normally you read in a 600-page book. Everything there are other opinions about, but it's definitely, you know, if you read the book, you're very impressed. if you read the book and you know a lot about philosophy, you're much more impressed. And you understand why the Chazon Ish was the Chazon Ish. Because, you know, he knew how to think at a very deep, sharp, and Pashut level. In any case, there he attacks the Navardiker and he says, that's not true. He says, you know, for all of Jewish history, we believed in mitachon, and it didn't mean that Hashem will give you everything that you want. And then all of a sudden, you know, in the early 20th century, people tried to convince us that's what it means. And it's not true. After all, we have a concept of Tzadik V'Ralo, right? What does Sefer Eov about? What does Yirmiyahu debate with Hashem about according to the Gemara in the first Parak of Brachos? What did Moshe Rabbeinu discuss with Hashem? That sometimes things happen that don't make sense to us. Sometimes things happen that are unpredictable, and sometimes even Tzadikim don't get what it seems that they need, and we can't predict. He says, Mi yodea mishpatav v'tagnu mosav yisbarach. Who knows how Hashem runs the world? If we were smart enough to know how Hashem runs the world, then we'd be Hashem. The reason why we're human beings is because we're not smart enough to know how to run the world, and we don't know what hidden reasons Hashem has for doing things in the way that makes sense to him, which, of course, is not the way that makes sense to us. If the way that makes sense to Hashem is the same as the way that makes sense to us, we'd be as smart as Hashem, and we'd be God. Obviously, lo machshavosai machshavosichem, lo darchem darchai, as the Navi Yeshaya says in the Haftorah for a Tanit Sefer. We're not going to understand what happens. It's not going to work out the way we think. I know Rav Lichtenstein, he spoke about this. He quoted this Chazon Ish after the Yom Kippur War, which is a very similar moment for Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And he also pointed out that how can it be that I have bitachon and I know Hashem's going to give me exactly what I think I need? Then I'm the boss of Hashem, and by my bitachon, I'm forcing him to do what I want. But that's not the way the world works. I'm not the boss of Hashem. Hashem's the boss of us. Only Hashem decides. And we can't decide and expect Hashem to follow whatever we believe. So while it would be an attractive belief to say, bitachon, that's the fear that conquers all fears, the fear of Hashem. I bitachon, I know it's going to work out the way I want it to work out. That's great. It sounds very calming. But it doesn't seem to be true. Basically, you go through all of Rishonim who discuss Bitachon, etc., and no one, certainly at least not explicitly, no one says what the Navardiker said. It seems to be that Hashem's ways are beyond us, and we don't know. You can't know how Hashem runs the world. You can't predict how Hashem runs the world. And Vaharaya, sometimes things happen that don't make sense to us in the world. And we just say, well, lo machshavosai machshavosichem, lo darchem darachai, we have faith that Hashem knows what he's doing. So let's go back to bitachon. So the Chazon Ish was now stuck. What does bitachon mean? What am I batuach about? What do I know for sure when I talk about bitachon? What do I know for sure when I talk about bitachon? That gives me calm, that gives me relative peace, that gives me strength. So the Chazon Ish's answer is, I think, very simple and very deep. He says, bitachon doesn't mean that I know what the result will be. We never know what the result will be. We're human beings. Bitachon means we know why the result will be. Bitachon means that we believe things do not happen in the world stam. Things don't happen stam because of the roll of the dice. Things don't happen just because this person decided or that person decided. We know that's not how the world works, right? There are always good people, there are always bad people, etc. What determines what really happens in the world? So he says Hashem runs the world. We know that Hashem runs the world, and he runs the world for a reason. Bitachon means, as safe as it seems, Hashem runs the world, and whatever he wants to happen will happen. And as dangerous as it seems, Hashem runs the world, and whatever he wants to happen will happen. In science, there are some cases where it's 99% safe, some cases where, we hope we won't be in this situation, it's really, really dangerous, right? If I am sitting in, you know, in Beit Shemesh, okay, that's 99% safe right now. If I'm a soldier, you know, going into Gaza or, you know, right staring to the eyes of some enemy soldier in Lebanon, then it's very, very dangerous. But philosophically, they're both situations are the same. I could be sitting in Woodmere, and philosophically, it's the same as going into Gaza. Hashem runs the world. Whatever he wants to happen will happen. I'm in Hashem's hands. If Hashem wants this result, it will be this result. If he wants another result, it will be another result. And whatever happens, happens for a reason. I think that is, that's the Chazon Ish's, maybe we could call it a more realistic bitachon. I don't know what, I free myself from having to know what will happen. No one knows the future. As long as I think I have to know the future, I will not be able to find inner strength. Says the Chazon Ish, you don't have to know the future. Hashem knows the future. He has a plan. Everything has a reason, which you're not going to, the odds are very high you're not going to understand as until your Meiva Esrim ends and you go to a different world. But we know things happen for a reason, and we know whatever happens, we're in the hands of Hashem. Rabbeinu Yonah, the third parak of Mishlei, also talks about this, slightly different words, and he points out also there's Rachmi Hashem, right? We're not in the hands of a cold, cruel world. We're not in the hands of random people who may or may not have power. We're in the hands of Hashem, and Hashem is Kel Racham Echanun. Kel Racham Echanun doesn't mean it'll always work out the way I want, because I don't know what's really right in the grand divine scheme of things. That's beyond my pay grade. That's beyond the pay grade of any physical being in this world. But I know I'm being taken care of. I know Rav Lichtman talked about this. He quoted the Medrash of Tehillim, Kigamul Alei Imo, like a baby being held by the mother. And he said, like, what is part of Bitachon? The baby being held by the mother doesn't cheshben out, doesn't have like a svara, what the mother is doing and what she thinks and what his relationship is with the mother. He just knows that when his mother picks him up, he's okay. It doesn't mean what's going to happen in the future. It just means that he feels that relationship, that warmth, that being taken care of. It doesn't mean he knows how life will work out. And I think that that's a big part of Bitachon, says the Chazon Ish, to know that we're not in the hands of a cruel, cold fate. We're not in the hands of an impersonal world. We're not in the hands of friends or enemies. You know, Arur HaGever SheYivtach BaAdam, when it comes to friends as much as enemies, we appreciate our friends. But our bitachon is Baruch HaGever SheYivtach BaHashem. And the feeling that we're all in the hands of Hashem, the feeling that he's running history, we might not like it. We might not appreciate the way he's running history now because we don't understand the broad perspective of the entire universe, and it might not make sense to us, but he's running history, and everything happens for a reason is a way to free ourselves from our fears. I don't know what will happen, but the baby doesn't even think about what will happen. He knows his mother's holding him. I don't know what will happen, but I know Hashem's holding us. I know Hashem's there. I know he's running the world, and whatever happens, happens for the best. Does that mean, the Chazon Ish discusses there in the chapter of Bitachon, does that mean we sit back and don't do anything and say Hashem runs the world? No. We know that it's our job to do our shtadlus. We know that, as they say in America, God helps those who help themselves. There's a fascinating Ramban, and Rabbeinu Bachya even makes a bigger deal of it. In last week's Parsha, Rashi asked the famous question, why did Noah have to build a teva? You'll say to save himself from the Mabul. So Rashi points out, but Hashem is God. He could have saved Noah from the Teva without a Mabul. He could have just brought him up to Shemayim, you know, for that year with his family and taking care of him there, put him in Gan Eden or someplace. He could have made a force field around him so he wouldn't drown in the... I'm sure he has cleverer ways than I can think of. He didn't need a Teva to be saved Noah from the Mabul. Not only that, the Ramban points out, the teva wasn't really good enough anyway. That teva, you're going to fit all the animals? I mean, I don't know the cheshbonos, but, you know, you have the elephants and everyone. The teva seems pretty big until you actually start trying to fit everything in. And it's not just fitting everything in. It's like, how about the food for a year for all those animals? You know, the food is much bigger than the animals. And how do you keep the food from spoiling, especially when
all the waste material from the animals is in the teva they're composting. And as a matter of fact, Rashi says, yeah, of course, Hashem had to do a miracle to make the food last a year. Not to mention the fact that I'm very skeptical now about our shipbuilding capabilities so many thousands of years ago. By the time there's a marvel on the entire earth, to have a ship that's going to withstand that is going to need a lot of miracles. So if Hashem's doing miracles anyway, why did Noah build the Teva? Okay, we probably learned Rashi's answer in elementary school, which is a great answer. He said, Noah didn't build the Teva to save himself from the marvel. That Hashem took care of. He built the Teva so that for 120 years, his neighbor would ask him, Noah, what are you doing? And he'd say, I'm building a Teva. They'd say, why are you building a Teva? Ah, because there's going to be a marvel. Why is there going to be a marvel? Well, think about it. Look at the way society runs. Look at how people act. Is that really right? And we give him a chance to give Musar to his friends and neighbors. And maybe they would do tshuva and save the entire world. And it didn't work, but he tried. That's Rashi's answer. The Ramban gives a different answer. The Ramban says it wasn't really so much for Noah and for – it wasn't what he could teach his compatriots, his contemporaries. It was for what he could teach us. Hashem told Noah to build a teva because Noah could build a teva. That was his ishtadlus. Noah could build an ark. Could he build an ark that would really do the trick? No. But he could build the ark. And how did Hashem pick the size? The biggest ark Noah could build. Why? You build whatever you could do. You do as much as you can. That's called your ishtadlus, Hashem says. You do as much as you can. I'll do the rest. You do nothing. Don't wait for me to come save you. You think you have to do everything, you'll never get anywhere because no one could ever do anything. Even if I get up in the morning on a regular day, I can't really take care of everything that could happen in the world today. We do our ishtadlus, and then Hashem does the rest. And that's why Noach built the Teva, to teach us throughout all the Dorei Dorot that lesson. Rav Yabachi actually mentions this in a number of places. If you learn Chumash with Rav Yabachi, you see it's a theme he keeps coming back to. Why did the Jews have to fight a war now? And why did the Jews have to fight a war thousands of years after Noach and not just depend on Hashem? Because of course they depend on Hashem, but they learned from Noach that we learned from Noach that you have to do your shtadlus and then depend on Hashem. And I think that is the I think psychologists talk about this as well. I'm not a bucky in the literature of psychology, but you have to know what's in your hands to do, what's in your control, and what's not in your control. What's in your control, you have a chraya to do. What's not in your control, the worst thing is to try to take a chrayot to believe you're responsible for things not in your control. And one of the reasons the world is such a scary place is because if you're sophisticated, you realize immediately how many things are not in your control. And if not everyone at a certain point, the penny drops, something happens in the world, and they say, whoa, nothing's in my control. And then they don't know what to do. They go crazy. They get paralyzed, etc. Says the Torah, no, of course everything's not in your control. Hashem gave a clear division of labor. What's in your control is your shtadlut. That's what you do. What's not in your control is Hashem's job. It's your job and Hashem's job. And the ability to say, this is my job, the rest is Hashem's job. I don't have to feel personally responsible for it. I don't have to cheshbon it out. I don't have to do it. I don't have to accomplish any more than I'm supposed to accomplish. I do my job and the rest is Hashem's job, I think is what the Chazon Ish is talking about. Is the way, what the Rav was talking about, a way to free us from all those fears, a way to grapple with difficult, challenging, scary situations, is be able to say, someone's running the world, that's Hashem, Ad Kan, up to this point is my achrayot, beyond that point is his achrayot, and he's going to do a better job than I am, even if I might not always appreciate or understand understand the way he does it. But ultimately, he's in charge. That's one answer to, what does bitachon really mean? And how does that help us with the challenges of life? Rabbeinu Yonah, he has a beautiful essay in Perek Gimel Pasuk Chaf Vav of Mishlei. Certainly recommended to go through it. There's every sentence has really a lot more depth than we can discuss now. And that's true of a lot of other vinyonas in Mishlei, but this is our topic now. He discusses many different types of bitachon, and one thing he adds and even starts with is, he says, bitachon is like a worker who works for the king, and he works, he sus v'sameach. He goes into work happy every day because he knows shescharo muvtachlo. He knows he's going to get paid. You know, in the real world out there, hopefully people in this room have not had this experience, or have not had it too often, sometimes you can work and not get paid. The client doesn't pay the bill. The company doesn't pay the payroll and goes bankrupt. You're not always sure that your work will pay off. Or you're self-employed. You build up a business. You're not sure you'll make money. It says, but if you work for the king has a treasury. The king has infinite resources. When you work for the king, you know that you're going to get paid. You know, like we David, you know you're not doing anything for no reason. Everything you do accomplishes something. You get paid for it. Says Rabbi Yonah, he says that, and this, you know, this aspect of bitachon, okay, follows Shita the Chovot HaLevavot, which is that this aspect of bitachon, he has more than one aspect, is for those who do Ritzon Hashem, or follow the Torah, Mekayim Mitzvot. He says, bitachon means that whatever I do, I know will be rewarded by Hashem. When I do the right thing, after all, what ultimately in this world is the only thing that's under our control? What is the only thing that's really under our control? Is our mitzvot and avirot. Is hakobidi shamayim chutz biyirat shamayim. If I work, how much money I make? I do my shtalot, it's in Hashem's control. My health is in Hashem's control. My family, my safety is in Hashem's hands. My ma'asim, what I choose to do, the values I choose to live by, are and concretize, that's under my control. HaKovid HaShemayim Chutz Miyar Shemayim. Says Rabbi Yonah, what are we batuach about? We're 100% certain that whatever I do will be rewarded. Whatever I do will produce something good, will accomplish something in this world. He says, ultimately, the only place we are fully batuach about is Olam Haba. We know that in Olam Haba there is no tzaddik v'ralo, that everyone is rewarded for their mitzvot, but we know as well that in Olam Hazeh, our mitzvot have tremendous effects as well. We don't know exactly how, exactly when, exactly where, exactly why, he says, but we know that everything we do, every mitzvah we do accomplishes something, and we hope that it will accomplish everything we want, but we know that it accomplishes something. And I think that, you know, part of the difficulty of life's challenges, difficult situations, is doing something and feeling like I might be wasting my time, I might not be accomplishing anything. I'm doing this, but I don't know if I will succeed or if I'm wasting my time. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, part of bitachon is, what am I batuach about? I hope for everything from Hashem. Right? Lots of mafarshim talk about a level of Rav Roman Rambam in his Sefer Masbik Lo'ov De Hashem says, it's not mamash bitachon, but I hope that Hashem will save me. Wonderful. But what am I? What do I know? I know, says Rabbeinu Yonah, that whatever mitzvot, whatever ma'asim tovim I do, whenever I live the right values, whenever I live avodat Hashem, that will have a positive effect. That will accomplish something. I have no idea which military strategy will accomplish what. I have no idea what political diplomatic strategy will accomplish what. And I don't know if someone goes to the doctor, which medicine will cure them, which won't. I don't know if someone applies, goes to work and looks for a job, which job will make money, which job won't. But I know that, which ma'asim, I know what kind of lifestyle will accomplish something, will produce something, and which will not. And often, the worst feeling in life is helplessness. I can't do anything that will help the situation. And says Rabbeinu Yonah, in Gashmiut, sometimes we can do our Ishtadlut, sometimes maybe we can't, and even our Ishtadlut, you know, we don't know what effect it will have. But in the realm of Ruchniut, everything we do, there is no such thing as helplessness. Wherever the world is, wherever Am Yisrael is, wherever I am, I can always accomplish something. I can always do something that will succeed. And that is Ruchniyot. That is Avodat Hashem. Avodat Hashem always succeeds. What will it produce?
What will it produce something in Olam Hazeh or in Olam Haba? Will it produce what I would like to have, l'zchus this or l'zchus that, etc., what I'm davening for in Olam Hazeh or something else? We don't know. But if I do mitzvos and I'm do live my values, and it doesn't accomplish what I want to get from Hashem, that's because Hashem knows there's something better that it can accomplish, and instead it will accomplish something better, which I haven't thought of now. I say, I want X, I tell him, whatever I do, if I don't get X, that's because it's accomplishing something which is better than X. Maybe it's something else for me, some other stage in my life. Maybe it's something for my family. Maybe it's something for Am Yisrael. Maybe it's something in Olam Haba. But ultimately, when I do mitzvos, I'm going to get at least what I think I should get as reward for those mitzvos. Just sometimes it will be something greater and not exactly what I want right now. And that is, we're all thinking about what we can do, what we're supposed to do now. What do we do? What can we do that accomplishes something, that helps, that solves the problem? Okay, so we now have two answers based on bitachon. All starts with bitachon. If we know that pacha, we know who runs the world, then A, we can do our hishtadlot and leave the rest in the hands of Hashem. Right? Whatever hishtadlot we, maybe the people in this room don't have quite the hishtadlot and the war effort. I don't know, probably many people in this room are like me. We moved here a little too late to have the army experience and get called up for Miluim. And some of the people in this room are younger than me, and even their kids are also not quite ready for that level of hishtadlus yet. They're still too young. But whatever ishtadlus we do, whether it's sending things to chayalim, whether it's raising money, whether it is helping families of chayalim who now are sort of stuck, without the husband home, we do our ishtadlut and we leave the rest in the hands of Hashem. We know we've accomplished something with our ishtadlut because now that we do our ishtadlut, we can say, I feel that I've done my part, I've done my responsibility, I trust Hashem to manage the rest, and I'm not responsible for the result Hashem is on the level of Gashmiut. And the level of Ruchniut, as Rabbeinu Yonah points out, we could always accomplish something. Everything we do in Ruchniut, every zechut that we add in our Ruchniut accomplishes something. We don't know what, when, why, but it makes us better off, it makes the Jewish people better off, it makes the world better off. Everything we do helps us and our families and Klal Yisrael, even if we don't know exactly how. But that faith, that bitachon, that we can accomplish, really, I think, gives us the avenue and the direction to overcome the challenges of this situation. I want to maybe just end with one small thought to take with us, which is also from last week's parsha. The Hashem fascinatingly says to Noach, he gives Noach an oath after the Mabel. Mabel is tragedy. Mabel is destruction. Right? The Mabel was the whole world fell apart. What did Hashem tell Noach afterwards? I give you an oath. The oath is Kashti Nasati Be'anan, right? The rainbow. What's the rainbow all about? Okay, it's about a lot of things on all different levels. But if you think about it, it's a simple level, right? A cloudy day, right? Besides the fact there was a marble. In general, even when I grew up in America, a cloudy day means like a sad time, a depressing time. When things are bad, that's a cloudy day. Hashem puts this keshet. He puts the rainbow. I might have said, if I were running the world, I would have said, even when it's a cloudy day, don't worry, Noah. don't worry. It's going to be okay. The sun will come out tomorrow. Even behind the clouds, you can still see the sun shining. He said, the sun is there behind the clouds. The sun will come out. It's peeking out from behind the clouds. Don't worry. It'll be okay. And that's not what Hashem says. Hashem doesn't say, even when it's rainy, you can still see the sun. He says, when it's a rainy, difficult day, when the Midat Hadin comes to the world, you can see more better than the sun. You can see more than the sun. The sun was like, sun's great. Sunny day is great. It picks us up, makes us feel good, etc. But it's not as beautiful as a rainbow. A rainbow is that same sunlight, but it's refracted through the rain. It's the goodness of the sun refracted through the difficulty and challenge of the rain. It turns out to be something much more beautiful than the sun would have been if there was no such thing as rain. Dafka, sometimes in the most difficult times, and they're difficult times. And if we had the choice, we'd say, you know, I'm not ordering any. If it were up to me, I wouldn't order any difficult times. But sometimes dafka in the difficult times, we don't just see the sun that was there beforehand. We see the rainbow that we would never have seen, that we would never have seen without it. And I think that we have to take away that the rainbow, like we've seen so many rainbows in the last almost 3 weeks, that it's really, you know, I'm an optimist. I try to be an Oy Vistrel and positive. And anyone who's here heard me speak, I'm always positive and the Jewish people and everything. But I would totally never have guessed that I would see what I've seen in the last almost 3 weeks. As optimistic as I was, as much obviously I don't believe in everyone, I could never have imagined really how great Am Yisrael was, how great we would prove ourselves to be in such difficult times. You know, whether it is in Gashmiut, whether it's in Ruchniut, you know what everyone's doing. I'm sure most of the people in this room have seen more nice inspirational videos about the Matzav than I have. My general policy is I just watch the ones that my father or mother send me as a chiyuv of kibud avim. But don't worry, that's plenty. But just like, you know, the tremendous dedication, you know, whether it is the charter plane from Lima, Peru, with all the Israelis who are backpacking there, or not the, you know, the people we usually think of, you know, to get away from Israel, to get away, and I don't even know what they're doing there, etc. And some of they find, hear the news, find their way out of the jungle and say, get us a charter flight. We're interrupting whatever we're doing, and we want to go protect Am Yisrael. We want to go be part of Am Yisrael. It's not just from that direction. You know, a plane from Bangkok, which full of, I don't even know what they were doing there, but they're like, okay, that's what we do in the normal times. But now we're part of Am Yisrael. Now we're showing our achdus. Now we're standing up for our brethren. And there's a charter flight from Bangkok. It's a good thing it was a charter flight because they filled the plane, then they filled all the like crew seats, and then they put 20 people on the floor, which you're not allowed to do in normal commercial aviation, because everyone wanted to go back and fight for Am Yisrael. And those who are not fighting for Am Yisrael, you know, right, you know, where I live, they took this big empty building and converted it into, it's like an Amazon fulfillment center. Everyone brings everything anyone could ever possibly need in the entire world, and then people just volunteer and stand all day and sort it out and send it to the Chayalim, etc. And just, you know, the Ruchnius, we got a neighborhood WhatsApp. We have a neighborhood WhatsApp. It's a neighborhood, I'm not sure why, it's only a neighborhood women's WhatsApp. When there's something that I need to know, my wife tells me, she says, ah, the next door neighbor is collecting for Chayalim. Okay, so I don't know whether they're collecting the socks and the whatever. Says, no, they're Chayalim, a whole unit stationed up north. They ran out at the last second. You know, they need a lot of Tanakhs and Chumash Bereshit. I sent them, you know, I hope I wasn't giving them an Ayahara. I sent them the whole set. I figured they can always go ahead. You know, Chazar, catch up from last year, and a bunch of Tanakhs. It was actually Mamish. Min HaShemayim, by the time enough kids go through school, you just have like 40 of everything in your house. And, you know, it's great to have an opportunity to put it to good use. But it's just like,
You know, it's just amazing. Like, you know, we haven't waited 2,000 years. Okay, that's not my line. I stole it from Buster Weiss. We haven't waited 2,000 years to have big, strong soldiers with big machine guns and tanks and artillery and et cetera. But we've been waiting 2,000 years to come back here and have soldiers with the big guns and the artillery and the tanks who are using every second that's not Mivtza'i to learn Torah. You know, that's what we've been waiting 2,000 years for. That's all Am Yisrael wanted for the last 2,000 years. And you get to see it at times like this. Rav Rimon, who's the Rav of my shul, told me at the very beginning of the war, he went to an army base and he said, I'm not going to be like that kind of rabbi who takes advantage of every difficult situation to try to make people more from. I'm going to be like an Avraham Avinu rabbi. And he came with snacks and with socks and warm clothing and this and that, you know, everything to provide, you know, to not be one of those rabbis. And he shows up and all these non-from soldiers are like, Rabbi, you're a rabbi. We don't want this from you. Where's the tzitzit? Rabbi, where's the tzitzit? That's what we want you to bring us. And I'm telling you, like, you know, you can't even tell, like, who's from and not from in the army anymore, because they're all with tzitzis out. And this is, you know, this is what we really are inside. We don't get to see it that often. And this isn't why we want to get to see it. But when you have the clouds, Hashem says, that's when you see the, not just the sun. All of a sudden, you start seeing the rainbow. In the tough times, the rainbow comes out. And I think that that's really, you know, that's what we're going to carry with us. You know, we're going to carry with us the bad feelings someplace back in the back of our heads. But I think we're going to carry with us the rainbows that we saw. And fascinatingly, I checked my good old concordancia. Keshet is a word many times in Tanakh. It usually means a bow and arrow. But keshet, meaning a rainbow, only appears twice in Tanakh. Once, Parshas Noach, and the other time, in Yechezkel, the Ma'aseh Merkava. And the Ma'aseh Merkava is the holiest, you know, I don't need to tell you how holy Ma'aseh Merkava is, right? The Mishnah says you can't even learn it, it's also you can think about it, we don't even know the inkling of a millionth of what it means. And it says they saw Hashem. Obviously, we don't know what that means. But one thing, we know what the words say. It says, what was the glory of Hashem like? Right? Ultimately, that keshet, that rainbow, is a revelation of the glory of Hashem. Ultimately, what we've seen now, what we see in the tough times of Jewish history, is, yes, it's tough. Yes, we don't understand how things work. But it's really an opportunity to look for the glory, to see Hashem, to see how great Am Yisrael is, to see how the ruchnius Hashem puts in Am Yisrael, right? To focus on Hashem a little more and to come out not just coping and capable, but a mirsa Hashem to come out strengthened and inspired, to take that with us for the next for the next 100 years, for the next however long, to take our bitachon, to take our really our ability to overcome things by knowing what's in the hands of Hashem, by not taking responsibility for that which we know Hashem is taking care of, by taking responsibility for doing those ma'asim which we know will pay off and have a salutary effect in the world, and for looking, even when it's not cloudy, in a year, in 2 years, in 10 years from now, for remembering that rainbow we saw, remembering how the greatness of Am Yisrael and the ruchnius that Hashem put in Am Yisrael was revealed so greatly, then Bezrat Hashem, we can really be different for the rest of our lives after this experience. And Bezrat Hashem, this should be the Chevlei Mashiach. And we should be zoche for every day for the Yeshua and the Geula that we need every day. And we should be zoche that very, very soon we shouldn't have to undergo any of this suffering anymore. And we should see not just an atalta, not just a reshit, and not just a smicha, but a full Geula b'mehirah b'yameinu. Amen.